In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. November 5th, the year of our Lord, 2022. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports, the place to be on Blackstone in between Bullard and Herndon Avenue, here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. Yeah, come on down here and check it out. This is playoff time, man. This is the most exciting time, I think, of the high school football season, and maybe even the Central Section High School Landscape Sports Edition. I mean, the weather is perfect as far as football. All the buildup. I mean, yeah, here we are. And last night we had pretty much a full slate of action. There were two playoff games Thursday night, but last night was the real deal. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about all the games. We're going to be breaking them down. We are going to be talking about the future matchups next week. If you guys remember, there's a holiday, Veterans Day, on Friday of next week. So all the high school playoff games are going to be on Thursday. Don't forget that. That's going to play a big factor. Why? Well, because teams that play today, it's a short week. They got to play Thursday. Think about Thursday night football, too. There's always that talk in the NFL about that. But there are a lot of teams that had byes. So these the higher seeded teams in most divisions had a bye. So they had not only had a week of rest, but they're going to have to take on a team that played last night, and they had a short week, and then they're going to be playing on Thursday. So who's coming on the show today? Well, it's a loaded show. It is a loaded show. After the break, we're talking with Hanford football coach Cannon Sanchez, right? We talked a lot about Hanford on the show. They are in Division II. They are the 4 seed. They were in Division I for a lot of the season, and ended up with 3 losses. So they are in Division IV, and they're the 4 seed. And what did they do last night? Well, they scored 84 points. They beat Ridgeview, the 13th seed, 84-21. It was 63-14 at halftime. So how in the world do you score 63 points in one half? We're going to be talking with Coach Sanchez about that. And when you see a score like that, first thing that pops in your mind is, oh, they ran up the score, da, da, da. Well, looking at the scoring chart and when they scored and how long their touchdowns were, no. They really only had just a little over 400 yards of total offense in that game. So we're talking with Coach Sanchez about that win, about Division II in general. And they're going to be facing Bakersfield Christian, which is going to be a tough game, at 10:30, around 10:30. I have one of the best players in the Central Section, arguably the best player. Central Valley Christian's Jaden Moore is coming on the show. He's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. His coach, Mason Hughes, is also coming on. They are having a phenomenal season. 10-0, number one seed in Division II. He's head of the University of Oregon, talking about Jaden Moore. There was a big push late in his recruiting, so he had some really good options late, but chose the Ducks. And he is an absolute beast on the field, plays both ways. Really excited to talk to him around 10:30. At 11 o'clock, we're going to be doing something a little bit different, something I haven't done before. And I thought about this last night, and this is a great time to do it. So we're going to have, I would call it like the barbershop edition. So Gabe Camarillo does a fantastic job on his show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday in the afternoons, 3 to 5. He produces a show. He always jumps on with me, talking about all the games and previews and all the good stuff about high school sports. But Coach Hughes is going to stay on. Gabe is going to stay on. We're going to have a little barbershop roundtable talk about high school football in the playoffs. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Gabe and I are going to keep on rolling. We have our top 5 Central Section Heisman candidates. So 1430 has made a really big effort to go all in on high school sports. So at the end of the year, we're going to have something really, really special planned for the student athletes. So Gabe and I are going to be talking about some of the top players for our high school Heisman watch. All right. So we got about 6 or 7 minutes right now, and I want to go over as many scores as possible from last night's game? I know I'm not going to get to all of them, but I'm really going to focus on Division One and Division Two for this episode. And we will be mentioning the other divisions, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but really focusing on Division One, Division Two. Last night, I was able to be on the sidelines for a game. It was the first Friday since high school football started that I wasn't broadcasting a game. We did the Justin Garza and Fowler game two nights ago. Justin Garza won their first playoff game, 52-42 over Fowler in Division Four. So congrats to Yosef Ferris on that one. So we broadcast that once. But last night I was able to go check out Clovis North and Centennial. Clovis North is the 7 seed, Centennial the 10 seed from Bakersfield. And we know how hot Clovis North is. And now I got to see it with my own eyeballs, right? They rolled Centennial 40-7. That was a running clock. It was 40-0 in the third quarter. That ground attack is tough to stop right now. Even if you know it's coming, it is tough. Offensive line is getting tons of push. They're gelling. They are gelling as a unit. We watched them play against Central Valley Christian. We broadcasted that game, and Central Valley Christian beat them. I believe it was 23-9, and they bullied them. Talking about CVC, they bullied Clovis North, but that is a different team that I saw last night. Jackson Sinfeld, sophomore running back, two rushing touchdowns. Mario Cosma, a quarterback, threw two touchdown passes to Vincent Cordoba. McKay Madsen had a touchdown run. Yeah, the Broncos are getting it going. Coach Mike Jaycott, you know, and if you know Coach Mike Jaycott, he's all business. He doesn't wear a headset on the sideline. He lets his coaches coach. And, they are rolling, and they are going to face Buchanan, who had a bye. Talk about a colossal matchup in the second round. But Buchanan and Clovis North next week. And I believe that game is going to be at LaMonica Stadium. The three other Division One games from last night. Clovis and Garces. Look at those Cougars. That's an 8-9 game. Garces was the 9 seed. It was at LaMonica Stadium. Garces Memorial went up 20-0, and the Cougars stormed back. Freshman Deegan Rose threw three touchdown passes in the second half, and they won 21-0. Down 20-0, a freshman quarterback leads them to victory. What an incredible game from that kid. That's something that he'll remember for a long time. And, again, only a freshman. Jacob Soldati had two touchdown passes. And they will face number one Clovis West. That's a matchup of rivals. That's a matchup of the final week of the season, won by Clovis West 27-0. So, I mean, couldn't ask for much better in the quarterfinals of that one. Number one Clovis West against number eight Clovis. Central, number 5 seed, welcomed Redwood, the 12 seed, and it was all Central. They were up 48-0. Redwood got three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Dayton Tafoya is on fire. 5 more touchdown passes, 349 yards. And the speed of Central was just too much in that game. Redwood, there was a lot of talk. Should they be a Division II team? Was Hanford going to be the 12 seed or 11 seed during the season? And Redwood jumped up around the last 3 weeks or so. Central took care of them. And they're going to face Elwin Key Memorial. They're going to go visit Pantherland, the 4 seed who had a bye, and that's going to be a rematch early in the season. The San Joaquin Memorial beat Central 23-21. And, let's just say those two teams don't like each other very much. That one is going to be hard-hitting. That is going to be a great, great football game. Down at the coast, I shouldn't say down, over on the side, down at the coastal area, St. Joseph's, number 6 seed, Clovis East, the 11 seed. St. Joseph's all over them, 41-6. That game was over pretty quick. We know that Clovis East is, they're hurt. They're banged up. They're down a couple players. Well, a couple key players. And St. Joseph's just rolled them. It was a running clock. And they are going to face the number 3 seed, Liberty Bakersfield. That is going to be a very, very good matchup. All 4 of these matchups in Division One are great. They all could be, in my mind, all of these could be final games. They're that good. So, again, number 1, Clovis West. Number 8, Clovis. Number 5, Central. Number 4, San Joaquin Memorial. Number 3, Liberty, playing number 6, St. Joe's, and number 7, Clovis North, will be taking on Buchanan. All right, let's try to get through Division 2 as quick as possible before we hit a break and bring on Hanford coach Cannon Sanchez. Central Valley Christian had a bye. They are the number 1 seed. They will face Sanger. The Apaches are playing really good football right now. They shut out Paso Robles at home 21-0. I know Coach Mason Hughes was at that game, so we'll get his take on what he saw from the Apaches, what they're going to have to do to beat them. Sanger defeats Paso Robles 21-0, and will be traveling to Visalia for their next game. Bakersfield Christian in one of the best games of last night. They're the 5 seed. They welcomed Edison. And Edison, you know, they're hot. Yajay Vance, their quarterback, is one of the top quarterbacks in the Central section. We knew that was going to be a dogfight. That game went to overtime. Actually, Edison was up 14-0 in that one. Bakersfield Christian comes back with 2 touchdowns. They go to overtime. Edison scores first, kicks the extra point. Bakersfield Christian scores. So, yep, Darren Carr and the Carr brothers and David, offensive coordinator, decide to go for 2, right? Win it or lose it on the next play. They have a tight formation. They run a toss sweep to the left, and the kid gets in, and they score, so they win on a 2-point conversion. So congratulations to Bakersfield Christian, and they're going to face Hanford, who, again, defeated Ridgeview 84-21. The 3 seed is Lemoore, and they have a bye week. They're going to face Washington Union, who kicked a late field goal to beat Dinuba. Dinuba took the lead. Washington Union kicked a field goal late in that game to win 15-13. Frontier and Lompoc. Frontier beat Lompoc 49-26, and they will face Kingsburg. And I know Kingsburg was at that game. The coaches were at that game, so they got a firsthand look of who they're going to face in Frontier. Frontiers, they're athletic. They got a really good quarterback. So that is going to be a really good game. All right, really quick before we hit a break. So the matchups in Division 2 next Thursday is going to be Central Valley Christian, number 1, against number 8, Sanger. Bakersfield Christian at number 4, Hanford. Lemoore, number 3 seed, is going to be welcoming Washington Union, the 6, and Frontier, the 7 seed, is traveling to Kingsburg for that game. And all of the higher seeds held true. There were no upsets in the Division 2. So there you go. All right, quick little rundown of the games from last night. Coming up after the break, talking with Cannon Sanchez, the head coach at Hanford High, about their big win over the Ridgeview and what they can look forward to playing, hosting Bakersfield Christian on 1430 ESPN. Get your motor running. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Broke down as quick as possible divisions 1-2 in the scores last night. A little bit of a matchup again for the up until 12 o'clock. We're going to be talking about all the games, players to watch, players who stood out. A few surprises last night. Not a lot, to be honest. There weren't a lot of upsets. A lot of the higher seeds held firm. So, I mean, I really got to say the central section and the committees, they did a really good job with the seedings. I thought obviously compared to last year, but one of the scores that really stood out to me last night was Hanford defeating Ridgeview 84-21. Got Coach Cannon Sanchez on the line right now. They're going to be facing Bakersfield Christian in Division 2. So first of all, Coach Sanchez, thanks for coming on and congratulations on the win last night.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, I didn't broadcast the game last night, so I'm on the sideline. So I'm checking Twitter as much as possible. I'm retweeting things, and I see your score is 14-14, and then the next time I look, and it's 63-14. I'm like, wow, that was a quick rest of the game, and I'm like, no, it's halftime. So how in the world does a high school football team score 63 points in the first half? And looking at the box score and looking at the score tracker on Max Preps, it doesn't look to me like there was one defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. Usually when you score a lot of points like that, you got a fury of those types of scores, but it doesn't look like there are any of those types of scores.
No, I mean, in the second half, we did have a kick return touchdown by a freshman, which is the first time we've done that in, I think, a decade. We had a kick return touchdown, so it was cool to see some of the young guys, you know, get in the second half. But I think, you know, the score is a little misleading. you know, we've got the utmost respect for Coach Quinn and Ridgeview over there. Just that second quarter, I think the kicking game had the most to do with it. We had a couple of, you know, block punts or punts that didn't get very far that gave us really short fields. You know, we didn't run too many plays. I think we ran 58 plays total, which is nothing normal or, you know, out of the ordinary for us. So, you know, we run plays pretty quickly. So our time of possession was very little. And, you know, we only had 11 offensive possessions. So I think just that second quarter scoring 42, I mean, I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and again, looking at the score tracker, you know, when it was 14-14, you have a 5-yard touchdown run, a 26-yard touchdown pass, a 2-yard rushing touchdown, a 3-yard rushing touchdown, an 8-yard. So it was those types of, you know, weren't like any 81-yard pass plays, you know, 52-yard runs. They were all short. So yeah, just looking at that, it sounds like there was some, you know, some kicking game, you know, where you guys got really good field position or you got a turnover here and there. So, yeah, definitely you guys just – you took the opportunities when they were handed to you, right?
Yeah, and I think with Ridgeview, you know, Ridgeview is also a no-huddle team. So, you know, their time of possession was, you know, they run the ball a little bit more. But we just we had the ball in our hands a little bit more and got them off the field. Ridgeview, their running back is – extremely impressive. I think he's going to be a next level guy, and he's a guy that worried us, you know, coming into this game. And I think our defense played one of its best games of the year, you know, and it wasn't perfect football. He broke off a couple of pretty big runs that we couldn't contain him, but you know, our defense really stood up last night.
Yeah, and he had 7 rushing touchdowns, 4 touchdown passes from your senior quarterback Caden Ymir. Who are some other guys that stood out in that game to you?
I mean, offensively, Donovan Smith, you know, he had 2 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving. But, you know, he's really versatile, you know, offensively for us. And he's a guy that I think defenses have to account for. But Donovan Smith had a big game. And then our sophomore running back, Albert Richardson, he had a really big game, you know, both on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. You know, we were kind of without our starting running back, Cordae Glass. He was a bit sick, so got a couple of touches, but we kind of shut him down in the first quarter. And then just defensively, I think just across the board, Jaden Sudd, D'Artagnan Martin, Brack Hill, Eric Land, they all had really big games on the defense side of the ball that, you know, really helped us stop the Ridgeview run.
Talking with Cannon Satcher, the head coach at Hanford High School. So let's go back to last week a little bit in your rivalry game that you lost to Lemoore 42-15. They are now the 2 seed, talking about Lemoore, or the 3 seed, sorry, in Division II. You know, it just seemed like, you know, Lemoore's a very, very good football team. It just seemed like things weren't working out for you in that game. So what was the message to your team after that game, heading into the playoffs? Because you obviously want to be playing your best football heading into the playoffs, but you guys were tripped up by Lemoore. What did you tell your team after that one?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I think it was extremely out of character for our guys to play like that in such a big game. I mean, I think the atmosphere was phenomenal. There was almost 6,000 people at this game, and to play your worst brand of football in a big game like that is just a pretty tough feeling. But you know, we didn't like how we responded as a team in those type of situations, and I'm glad that we, you know, bounced back this week. And more than anything, we just kind of played with you know, good enthusiasm on the sideline, you know, and just being, you know, great teammates this week. But last week was just disappointing. We got our butts kicked. I think they you know, punched us in the mouth, and we didn't respond to it. So I think we know that obviously if we don't respond from here on out, then that's probably going to be your last football game. So I think the kids know, and it was a humbling experience for them. And all we can do is improve and take it one day at a time.
And Division II is, you know, Division I gets a lot of love and deservedly so, but Division II is absolutely loaded this year. Again, I think the brackets came out pretty much perfectly. When you first saw the brackets and you looked at the matchup, I know there was going to be some questions whether or not there was going to be a full 16 teams, but there were 3 byes. You guys didn't have the bye week, but the other schools did. The higher seeds above you. But when you saw the entire bracket, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I honestly, and this is, might be controversial, but I think they did a really good job making pretty much all the brackets 1-6, you know, going through them. I think there's some really good matchups. You know, I think you know, the teams that are in Division One should be, the teams that should be in Division Two should be in Division Two. You know, and I think the matchups will you know, kind of work themselves out. But you know, even these coming weeks, you know, Bakersfield Christian is a really talented football team. And I even think, you know, Sanger's playing really good football right now. So I think Sanger-CVC is going to be a good matchup.
No, absolutely. And let's talk about that Bakersfield-Christian matchup. And I'm sure you saw, you know, their highlights last night. And, you know, they came back and went for that two-point conversion to win the game. And sure enough, they got it. So what do you know about Bakersfield-Christian and, you know, coaching against Darren Carr?
Yeah, so we when I was offense coordinator in 2014, we hosted them here for the semifinal game, and I think that was Darren's first year as a head coach for Bakersfield Christian. But obviously, after our game last night, you know, just keeping up with the scores, and you know, it was a great game, you know, on the scorebook, and then seeing that was tied 14-14, and this morning when we traded film, I couldn't wait just to scroll all the way down to those last two plays and see how the into the double pass, and then you know, even that last 2-point conversion, I mean, it was a toss pass, but it looks like he could have thrown the ball, and he kind of pump faked and dove in. So it was looked like a phenomenal finish and a really good football game.
And on top of that bracket, so you and Bakersfield Christian will be battling it on Thursday, and then above that, Central Valley Christian and Sanger. We're going to be talking with Coach Mason Hughes. We got Jaden Moore on the show as well coming up after the break, and then at the bottom, Lemoore and Washington Union and Frontier and Kingsburg. You know, I just think this is going to be a really good battle the rest of the way. There's no real easy games in playoffs, even though you guys put up a lot of points yesterday. Every game is going to be a battle because, like you said, it could be your last. Could be your last game, and so these kids never want to end their season on a loss in the playoffs. But what will Hanford need to do to win the Division II Central Section title?
I mean, everything. I think just, you know, putting a full game together, you know, I think we have been, you know, days where we're really good on defense and days that we struggle on offense and vice versa. And we haven't seen a game yet where defense puts everything together and offense can continue to score points and kind of play off of each other. And in playoff football, you know, if you're not doing that, then, you know, again, you're probably not winning the games. And from here on out, like you said, there are no easy games. It's not playoffs like it used to be. I think they do a really good job of feeding everybody. And Bakersfield Christian's no slouch. And from here on out, it's going to be like that.
No, absolutely. I agree. And how are you feeling about playing on a Thursday? Do you like playing on Thursday, or do you wish that there was an option to have your game played on a Saturday? Because obviously you cannot play on Friday on the national holiday. So, I mean, what do you think? Are you okay with playing Thursday, or do you like, hey, man, I kind of wish I had an option to play on Saturday?
We actually got approval from CIF. We will be playing Friday. We're going to make it a, you know, we're going to have American flags out there, do the whole deal, but we actually have Hanford West playing here on Thursday night, and we'll be playing Friday. So,
there you go. That's something new. All right. I didn't know you could do that. So, all right. So you will be playing Friday night.
Yes, sir.
At 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome. All right. Coach Sanchez, thanks very much. Congratulations on the win. You've been great all year. You do a great job of communicating and sending texts to us about updates and box scores and all those things. So good luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate you, my friend.
Yep, and thanks for all you do for football, Coach.
All right. That was Cannon Sanchez, head coach of Hanford. He's going to be playing Bakersfield Christian this Friday. Just found that out. All right, so something new. So they did get approval to play Bakersfield Christian on Friday. All right, coming up after the break, talking more Division II football. We have Central Valley Christian head coach Mason Hughes and star player Jaden Moore on 1430 ESPN. Another one bites the dust. All right. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. Queen. All right. I'm your host, Paul Matters, here at First String Sports. Come on down here. First String, the Letterman's Jacket Room, man. This is where I do my show. Love this place. It's fully stocked right now. See Kingsburg, Sierra Pacific, Clovis West Jackets, Clovis East, Buchanan, Selma, Sierra. I see Central Valley Christian. You guys made the cut up there. Look at that. Huh? Jaden Moore, you got your Letterman's jacket yet?
Yeah.
You do. You got it. All right. But you're sporting the Oregon. You got your Oregon gear. You got the hoodie. You got the beanie on. Got Jaden Moore here, Central Valley Christian superstar. Coach Mason Hughes has also joined us. We'll be talking after this at the 11 o'clock hour with Coach Hughes about the landscape of playoff football. We just heard from Coach Cannon Sanchez at Hanford, their big win. And I know you got a good relationship with Coach Sanchez, Coach Hughes. But, you know, Jaden Moore, you're our 1430 ESPN student athlete of the week. I'm going to throw a couple stats out there for everybody. So, Central Valley Christian, you're the all-everything guy. You're head of the University of Oregon. You're committed. 17 offers. Am I right on that? About 17? Okay, about 17 Division I offers. You have rushed the ball 12 times for 192 yards and a touchdown. 8 catches for 386 yards, 10 touchdowns. Okay, that's offensively. 27 solo tackles for defensive end position. I know you line up in a couple different spots. 14 tackles for loss. Impressive. 9 sacks. 6'4", 230 pounds. Right there, those stats are impressive. Super, super impressive. So my first question is, looking at those stats, right, you're rushing the ball, you're catching touchdowns. You only caught 18 balls, but 10 of them are for scores, all these tackles, sacks. How come Coach Hughes hasn't called a passing play for you, man? You got to get at least some passing stats.
You know what? That's a good question. I ask the same thing every practice, man.
Oh, there's got to be maybe a two-point conversion, right? You line them up. Come on. Huh?
You want to tell them how we tried that in practice and didn't go so well?
I don't recall that.
All right. So, I mean, but you can sling it. Like, how far can you throw it? Are you a 40, 50-yard kind of guy?
Probably a cool 40, 50. Yeah.
Sideways.
Beautiful spiral, you know.
With the wind at his back? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, with Max throwing it and Jaden saying he threw it.
That is awesome. So, Coach Hughes, you got a special player here, and we're talking about how his impact on the field and all that. But you know, when you're able to coach a player of his caliber, a no doubt Division I type football player, I'm sure has aspirations beyond college football. But when you got a guy like this, what does he bring to your program, and what does he bring to the field every game?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a great player, and he brings, I think in practice, he brings a very, like a fun attitude, you know, sometimes maybe too much fun. You know, talking about throwing the ball, you think sometimes throwing the ball at people and started to, had to can that this year. But, I think he's a very loose player. He does bring an atmosphere to practice that keeps it loose. You know, I think that's one thing with this whole group this season has been, I don't want to say a challenge for us coaches, but it's just different. Like, normally at CVC, it's very serious, and this group is not as serious. Like, they love to have fun, and yet they still get their work done. And so it's been fun for us coaches to realize, like, oh, we can coach this type of group too, you know. And so I think Jaden brings that. You know, he's always smiling. It's pretty rare that he has a bad day. At least shows that. And he's very infectious, you know, and you mean, obviously he's a big dude. So when, you know, he walks on campus, people see him, and he's, you know, people are always gravitating towards him. So same thing as football. It's pretty rare to see him standing by himself or being by himself, you know? And so I think that's just that's a good thing to have. It's a good character quality he has. And, as a football player, he's constantly moving. And so I think, you know, those are two great traits, you know. And so it's been a lot of fun to coach him. And, you know, I can't believe it's – I mean, like, I think I heard you just say, like, you know, every week now could be your last one, you know. And so I've coached Jaden since he was a freshman. And, you know, the realization of those things coming to the end, you know, it's kind of tough even for a coach who's been doing it forever, you know. And so just a very positive attitude. A lot of fun. I think he brings a lot of energy to our practice and in our program, and he's obviously a good player, so that helps.
And I think for me, it's rare to see an impact player such as Jaden impact the game so much on both sides of the ball, right? You know, I've seen a lot of good players over the years, and you know, he stands out. Maybe somebody plays both ways, but you know, he really stands out on the offensive end or really stands out on the defensive end. But this kid, he could play anywhere, I think, and make an impact, right? He makes an impact his hand in the ground, makes impact as a tight end, as a wide receiver, put him in the backfield. You got to account for a guy like this. And that I don't know. It's just super rare to see a kid impact a game in so many ways as Jaden Moore can, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's I think that's what's special about him is, I mean, that's what a Division I college football athlete should do, right? Like, they should be able to do everything at the high school level, you know, because they're the best of the best. And so, yeah, I mean, everything except throw.
Okay, so what is your favorite position to play or your favorite spot to line up on a football field, either defensively or offensive? What's your favorite?
Definitely defensive end, I would say. On offense, I would say receiver.
Okay, why defensive end first? Like, why'd you say that first? What do you love about playing defensive end?
I like how physical it is. I like putting my hand in the dirt, you know, like getting to hit people every play.
The coaches let you line up in different spots. They give you a lot of freedom, or what does that look like? Do you kind of just seek some things out? Well, you know, maybe go a little bit more inside on this guy, or what's that like?
So our defense has a lot of movement. So I pretty much have freedom line up, whether it's a five or a wide seven, six, passing situations, stuff like that, yeah.
Okay. And then what, 14 tackles for loss and 9 sacks. Is there a play, even on the offensive end, is there a play that you really remember that stands out this year that you've made?
Not really.
Well, there's been some – I've seen some incredible touchdown catches on the highlights.
Oh, yeah,
man.
On offense, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about offense then. How about offense?
Let me see. I'm gonna say
you've mossed a couple guys too.
I'm going to say Mission Oak.
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd you do in that one?
I mossed a corner and then a safety that used to play on our team. So that was pretty cool.
That felt good.
Yeah.
Again, he's 6'4", 230 pounds. And what I know there's some trash talking that goes on in football games. But has there been anything really makes you laugh? Some guys trying to trash talk you a little bit, or somebody said something and you just kind of laugh it off. You're like, dude, or somebody really said something funny to you during a game? Or not, or they don't even mess with you.
Man, I love the trash talk, but I don't really get a lot of trash talk now.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Kingsburg probably the most trash talking team, I'd say.
Yeah, all right. They tried, huh?
They tried.
Yeah. And that was a great game. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I mean, 10-0 this season. So last year you guys had that great run at the end of the year, won Division III, won that first state game, then went and played in state playoffs. That was a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. You played in the state championship.
Yeah.
And you guys lost that game. But, Jaden, did that game motivate you going into your senior year? You know, talked about how, you know, every game in playoffs could be your last when you're a senior. But that game, did that motivate you in any way to this summer? Like, hey, that didn't feel good losing that game. I know we can do more next year. Did that help you at all?
Yeah, that definitely did for that game. And I remember how I felt after that and trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
What about this year's team with some of your players? I know you've added a really good running back who became eligible, Bryson Donaldson, but you got some other senior dudes you've been playing with for a while, your quarterback and Gambini, right? So what can you say about your teammates and how good of a players those guys are?
Yeah, my teammates are some dogs, man. They like to get stuff done, and it's an honor playing next to them, man.
Give us some shout outs, man. Who are some of your senior guys? I know you don't want to forget anybody,
right,
but
we got my boy Zach coming in at DN tight end. We got my boy Chase Womack, you feel me? We got some dogs, man. We got Brad Munger, Max Bucker, Bryson Donaldson. Let me see, we got Cooper Nolan playing lockdown corner, he's doing good. We got Caleb Callison, the middle backer, he's playing good. We got Arthur Scott at nose. He's a dog too, man.
All right.
He's a dog.
Yeah. All right, Coach Hughes shaking his head. Yeah.
Arthur's a good player, man.
So we were able – well, let me just go back a little bit. So, you know, you hear about Central Valley Christian and you just wonder, well, how good are they, right? And that's just kind of the feeling. Like, are they really good? You know, last year you won Division III. We knew you were going to have a better team this year. You hear about Jaden Moore and you see some of the highlights. But – when you see a player of your caliber with your own eyes, you want to, and, you know, against Clovis North, I think about that game against Clovis North, right? And you're like, I want to see that guy stand out. And Coach Pat Hill, Fresno State coach, who's seen a lot of football, he did the broadcast with us, and he was just raving about you. And he was raving about you because you didn't take a playoff, right? You were in on most every play. You made an impact on every play. They knew exactly where you were. I mean, you were unguardable. You were demanding double teams defensively, offensively, everywhere, lining up all over the field. Coach Pat Hill was very, very impressed. But what is the mentality that you have of, like, playing every play as hard as you play? Because we watch you. You get down there, you get a sack, or you block a kick or whatever, and you pop right back up, and you get to your spot, and it's just the next play, right?
Man, football's something I cherish, man, and you never know when it's going to be your last play. So I try to play every play like it's my last play.
Have you always had that mentality?
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, when did you start playing football, tackle football?
Man, when I was probably like 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right away?
Yeah.
What are your first memories of playing football? Like, do you remember, you know, maybe playing in the front yard with some neighbor kid, or you got brothers, or maybe, your family?
I want to say it's probably like my second game. I got hit pretty bad, and my mom was like, "Oh no, I don't want to play football." And then the next play, I went out there and I got my get back, you know. So that was pretty fun.
My get back.
Yeah.
So your mom was ready to. Were you ready to shut it down? Your mom ready to shut it down, or what?
She was ready to shut it down.
She was ready.
I was loving it, though.
You're getting your comeback on that one.
His mom has been ready to shut it down all the way up till probably freshman year.
Yeah.
She was constantly talking to me about that.
Yeah. Well, when did you really start taking football serious? And what I mean by that is, obviously, you have a special talent and a gift. But when you're like, hey, to get to the next level, to get that scholarship, to play for a big school, when did you start taking maybe the weight room serious, or you're studying the game, or your academics? Was there a specific time that you remember where you got like, man, okay, I'm going all in on this?
I would say probably my freshman year for sure, because I came into high school as primarily a basketball player. I had aspirations of going to basketball for college. But I realized that you needed some serious hype for that. So I was like, yeah, football's the way to go, man.
So you're 6'4", 230 pounds, mm-hmm. right? Do you know what you bench right now, what your max is?
Probably about a cool 315.
All right, 315. All right, so you mentioned basketball. I want to talk about that a little bit. So last year you averaged about 15 points a game, 12. What do you love about basketball? 12 rebounds, right? What do you love about basketball?
Basketball's a fun sport, man. It was always something to keep me in shape during the off season too, man. So it was pretty fun. I had everything but a jump shot.
So. Well, Coach Hughes would say, well, you got everything but a passing arm, right? Like, yeah. Everything but a jump shot in basketball, and almost the perfect football player except for that arm.
Yeah. I mean, he can throw the ball. I'm being a little bit mean to him, but, you know, not as good as he thinks he can throw it. But, yeah, he's pretty much accurate on the basketball court, too. He can pretty much do everything but shoot.
And so you can dunk, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Dunking all over the place, yeah, man.
So are you going to play basketball this year? Are you going to enroll early? What's that, look like?
So I'm enrolling early, so I'll be leaving around, like, beginning of January, so I'm not going to be able to play basketball.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So committed to the University of Oregon, and, you know, we followed you on Twitter, and you're going to make your commitment. I think it was down to 4 schools. A couple schools came in a little late, right? The Notre Dame offer, because I saw something about Notre Dame. Did they offer?
They offered, yeah.
Like 3 days before you're going to make your commitment?
Yeah, they're late, man. They're late.
Oh, that hurt. All right. So who are some of the other schools that offered you? I'm talking to Jaden Moore of Central Valley Christian. So who are some other Division I schools that made offers?
So we got Cal, Arizona, Michigan State,
Washington,
well, Washington State, a couple other schools.
So who were your final four?
Washington, Cal, Arizona, and Oregon.
Where's Fresno State on that?
Nah, I can't stay too close to home, man.
All right, I mean, that's legit, right? That's legit. So you wanted to get away. You wanted to have your own experience, right? That's important. That is absolutely important. So, yeah, you know, media people and people around the Central Valley are like, why don't you stay home, play for the hometown school? But, no, I totally understand that. We've had a lot of great athletes that go and play. You know, you think of Adrian Martinez in Nebraska and now Kansas State, and Caleb Kelly and all these guys, and, you know, Xavier Worthy of Texas. I mean, they're – a lot of dudes out there. Who are some Coach Hughes? You know, think about this kid and what he brings to the football field. But are there some – what would be a good NFL comp for Jaden?
Hmm.
Oof. I mean, 6'4", 230. Can go up and grab it.
I mean,
honestly, any weak side 3-4 rush end, you know, the thing that he's going to play, like, technically like an outside backer at Oregon. And, well, who knows, right? Like, they got guys, their best outside backer right now started out as a tight end, you know, he's going to be a first round draft pick from Oregon. So, but that's kind of what they recruited him as. And it's essentially the position he plays for us. You know, but they kind of do it on the weak side. So, I mean, any weak side rush end, I mean, any of these guys like, you know, Von Miller and all those guys, I mean, the one thing about Jaden is, he's very technique driven. I mean, he kind of mentioned how he's got some freedom, but he has a really good knack for, I don't even know if he knows how he does it sometimes, of just knowing where the ball is going to go, you know. And, he'll be standing up. We've given him total freedom to, he could be, you know, lined up over a guard. And if he feels like for this particular play, he wants to be standing up, go for it, you know? And then sometimes he'll be in a point stance, and we've given him that freedom because he's built, we trust him because of what he's done about being able to just make decisions and be right, you know? And I think even as a sophomore, something I remember about Jaden is, we played this game, and I think he had like 15 tackles, and I think he thought he played the game of his life. And, you know, I called him up on a Saturday or Sunday, whenever, the day after, and we talked and text messaged and talked, and I thought he played terrible because he wasn't doing anything in the game plan. You know, he was basically doing the opposite, but he was just better than the guy across from him. And I think at first he was a little shocked, but then he totally understood that. And I think really from that point forward, he pretty much makes the right decision. He'll do something, and it's like, man, that's not what we thought it was going to be, but it's better, you know? And, I mean, there's been countless times where Coach McDonald, our D-line coach, and me have been watching film with Jaden, and we're just like, oh, man, we should start doing it that way, you know? And I just think that's something that, for me, has always stood out about him. I mean, obviously his motor, like, he gives unbelievable effort, like you said, but he just has a knack for seeing things that I don't have it. I don't see it, you know? And so I think, to me, that's like something that is what colleges, yeah, that's what good athletes do, absolutely, you know? And I think that if you listen to Von Miller talk, you listen to Aaron Donald talk, you know, some of these outstanding D linemen in the NFL, outside linemen, you know, rush guys, they talk in this level that the rest of us don't understand, right? And it's one, a knack for their craft, and they understand all that stuff, and leverage, and Jaden understands all that, those things. But it's also, they just have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
And I just see it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and so to compare him, I don't know. It's, I mean, he's
you hear this phrase a lot. They're just built different, right?
Yeah.
There's Jews that are just built different, and this guy has it. So a couple more questions, Jaden. When you chose the University of Oregon, what went into that final decision? What really sold you on their program?
So obviously the ability for them to be able to win the championship, and another big part of that was the coaching staff, man. I fell in love with the coaching staff, man. I liked everybody on it. Felt like they all were doing a good job and the program was going in the right direction.
How about the uniform combinations and the locker room and all that stuff? That play a little part into it and all that Nike gear?
Not really.
Oh, really? No. All right. You just you're driven to perform on the field and win that national championship at that next level. But before you get there, you got some unfinished business in high school too. I know it's always fun to talk about the future, but you got a special team this year at Central Valley Christian. What would be a perfect ending to your high school football career? How do you want to celebrate one of your final games playing for Central Valley Christian?
State championship, man. I want, when they say goodbye to the seniors, when we're on the goal line, I want us to finish on a win. Everyone's happy. No one's crying, man. That's what I want.
Are you an emotional guy? Do you cry after losses?
Nah, not really after losses, but if it's the last time playing football in high school, maybe. You know,
big deal. And I want to – I know you got a special relationship with Coach Hughes, and I want to give you a moment to say how Coach Hughes has motivated you and helped guide you along to this process to be the man that you are today.
He's been great, man. Someone that I definitely look up to as like a mentor, and everything he does doesn't go unseen, man.
That's awesome. Appreciate That's him. Awesome. That's awesome. All right, last question here for Jaden, because Coach Hughes, we're going to keep you here for a while. I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo and about all the playoffs for the in the next segment. But, Jaden, so Sanger, it's a physical team. Were you able to go to the game and watch them? Sanger's going to be a physical team. They've improved a lot. What do you expect in that game? You're going to be playing on Thursday?
On Thursday.
I expect a physical game, man. There's going to be some bumps and bruises, but I hope we get up on them early, man.
It's good to play at home.
It's good to play at home.
All right. Jaden Moore, I can attest to this. I've seen him play with my own eyeballs. He's an impact player. He's going to do well at the next level, one of the best in the Central Section, if not in the state. So, Jaden, thanks for coming. You're a 1430 ESPN student athlete, and enjoy everything that's coming to you, my friend.
Yeah, man, appreciate you having me, man.
You bet. Coach Hughes, you want to stay for a little bit?
Yeah,
chop it
sure.
up?
Yeah,
all right. Coming up after the break, talking with Mason Hughes more about the playoffs and what to expect and what surprised us. Also joined by Gabe Camarillo, who produces the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up around 11:06 on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter sphere at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow 1430 ESPN at 1430 ESPN. We are the leader in high school sports in the Central Section, in the Central Valley. From the coast to Bakersfield to the valley up to Chowchilla. We love to talk high school sports. We had a really fun first hour talking with Cannon Sanchez, head coach of Hanford High. Talked with Jaden Moore, head of the University of Oregon from Central Valley Christian. They are 10-0. Talking about the Cavaliers. We're getting ready to face a really tough Sanger team. And we're going to do something a little bit different. I had this idea last night. Coach Mason Hughes drove from Visalia. I'm like, well, let's keep him on for another segment and bring in Gabe Camarillo as well. So let's do a little roundtable barbershop talk about the Central Section playoffs, what we've seen, some predictions. So Gabe, I want to talk with you. You're out and about because you interned for ABC 30 and you're obviously well connected. You were at a few different places last night. So we're going to talking with you actually after this break as well about more detailed stuff. But what stood out to you last night in any of the games?
So I was at Reedley at Torres. Reedley was missing five starters, and most of them were on defense. So that kind of limited them that way. And you could kind of tell Torres early in that game kind of took control offensively. They took some deep shots downfield. Jose Soriano, only a junior quarterback for the Toros, but he's one of the best junior quarterbacks in this valley. I'm convinced. After watching him play three times now, every time I watch him play, he does something that impresses me. This time, he managed to extend the plays with his legs. There was a 4th and goal from the 25-yard line that he almost converted for a touchdown. He brought it down to the 1-yard line, and it was not just that play. It was plays like where he rolled out to his right, evaded two sacks or two would-be sackers, and made it a first down. He just did a lot of cool things for the Toros. He's one of the reasons why they're advancing. The defense played well, but you got to give Reedley credit. Despite missing those five starters, they made this a ball game until the final whistle. I mean, this was a 27-21 game. The way it looked in the first half, it looked like it might get away from the Pirates, but the Pirates stuck in there. They had some long drives. They kind of played the clock game a little bit. They managed time of possession. They didn't give Torres as many possessions in the second half. But in the end, they were just one play short, and Torres moves on. And they actually face a team they probably weren't expecting to face because the number 12 seed North upset Wasco. Looked like North can do more than just run the football. I know they had the second leading rusher in the section coming into this game, but North showed a lot. They had some passing touchdowns. They had a pick six. North beat Wasco in an upset, so now it's going to be Torres hosting North High School Bakersfield.
Yeah, and at the top of that bracket is the number one seed. This is Division Four. Liberty and Madera will be playing Shafter, who beat Strathmore 42-21. I haven't gone over these scores yet, so let's give the people what they want. Carruthers beat Madera. That was a 3-14, 49-35. And the game that we covered, Justin Garza beat Fowler 52-42. Lots of what I like to say, points aplenty in that one. Caleb Matthews with three total touchdowns. Kalinga beat Exeter 20-6. Taft beat South 21-13, so it's going to be Kalinga and Taft. Were there any? Was that the only game that you went to, Gabe? Matilda Torres and Reilly, or you had a couple other games?
I was at Madera South and Santa Maria, and when I was there, Santa Maria didn't look all that good. But after I left, Santa Maria scored like 10 or 17 points to make it close, make Madera South sweat. But Angelo Moreno, he is a star for the Stallions. That Madera South team, I've always been high on them. I've always talked about them on my show, and I've been very complimentary because I think they've played good football this year. They had that heartbreaking loss to Madera High School where they gave up like a 30-7 lead in the third quarter. And sometimes losses like that can deflate your season, especially when it's against your rival. But this time, I think it actually galvanized the team. And they played well throughout NYL play. They lost close games to Sunnyside and to Torres. And so I think that this is a team to watch in Division 5, although they're going to have to make the long drive down to Atascadero. And talking to Joe Bailey of the Santa Maria Times, you know what he told me about Atascadero? There's no way they should be in D5. They're way too big of a school to be in D5. So it seems like Atascadero might draw some favor here, because Madera South isn't that big of a school compared to Atascadero. And on the other side of that part of the bracket in D5, it's Dos Palos and Morro Bay. I'm pretty sure Atascadero beat Morro Bay already this season. So I know last year it was Rigetti in Division 5 that ended up beating Liberty High School Madera Ranchos.
Yeah.
This year that might be Atascadero.
Yeah, that was interesting last year. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit to Division Two. Got Coach Mason Hughes here, and they had a bye, Central Valley Christian did, so they were able to check out the Sanger and Paso Robles game. The Apaches are playing good football. They were 4-0 before their final game against San Joaquin Memorial. We know how good San Joaquin Memorial is. They pulled away in that one, but Sanger's defense is much improved. They shut up Paso Robles. So, Coach Hughes, you're going to be taking on the Apaches. What did you see in that game between Sanger and Paso?
Yeah, just two really physical football teams. Paso Robles has a running back, number 26, I think Beck is his last name. We were calling him Mike Allstott in the stands. just a force. And, Sanger handled him very well. They're quick on defense. Looks to be a typical Sanger team, defensively, typical Matt Logue coached team. I've been able to coach against Matt a lot when he was at Selma. And offensively, very physical. I think that's probably the thing that stood out, it's just – we had seen them on film a little bit, and they looked physical. I mean, I think good wing T teams are, and that really stood out, like, from the get-go. I've watched Sanger play a lot in my life, and it looks pretty much like all the things I've seen with growing up. So, it's going to be – I mean, I don't think there's any easy games in this division. That Hanford score surprised me a little bit, but the way Hanford plays on offense, like, it can just avalanche on you, yeah. And so I think all the other games, I think, was it 5-12 Edison, Biggers Christian, that game came down. We got to watch that game on the live stream after the Sanger game, and that was a great finish. It stinks for Edison, man. They played so well, and just to kind of lose like that, we've lost games like that too, man. Yeah. It really stinks, but those kids played well, and Biggers Christian finds a way, I just think, I think Washington Union and Dinuba was probably about what everybody expected,
exactly.
Just like the first time.
Well, the final game. Yeah, what the final in their first match was 13-12.
Yeah.
This one 15-13. Kind of odd scores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. In the first one, there was a missed extra point or something like that. Somebody went for two and they didn't get it or whatever. And it sounds like that's kind of what happened last night. So obviously, those teams are evenly matched and well coached. And I think Division Two probably, when it all dust settled, it played out like you would think it would have, and yet the games outside of the Hanford game were tough, hard fought games.
No, absolutely. And then Frontier beat Lompoc 49-26.
Yeah, that game too.
Kingsburg athletes.
Frontier's good.
Frontier is good. Really good.
Yeah, I know. I talked to Coach Wilson, and he's like, man, they're better than a 7 seed, you know? Yeah. Why are they there? I think he might be right. So, yeah, I mean, every team left. We all got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, again, so Central Valley Christian, the one, they held on, playing Sanger, Bakersfield Christian, 5, playing number 4, Hanford, number 3, Lemoore. I mean, gosh, giving a lot of love to those guys. Those guys are really, really good as well, playing Washington Union, Frontier. We'll be playing Kingsburg. Coach Hughes, I want to go back to we mentioned a little bit with the segment with Jaden Moore, your game against Clovis North. Mm-hmm. Was that week 3 or week 4, right? Week 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Okay, and so you guys – you know, came up to Clovis, and you decided to put one of the track schools on your schedule, and you guys beat them 23-9. And, you made plays when you had to, and your defense held strong in that. You know, you talk about how good your defensive line is going to play well against Sanger. You got a really good defensive line. But Clovis North, they had that game against Clovis East to open up the track, lost on a Hail Mary. Yeah. But since then, something's just changed with Clovis North. They're definitely not the team that played against you guys. But, what do you see about Clovis North and Division I in general?
Well, I mean, obviously they got a shot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you could probably argue they're the favorite. I still think Liberty is the best team. I know maybe up here in Fresno we don't want to talk about that, but
you're in Visalia.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I really have a lot of respect for Liberty's program. Brian Nixon, I think, is the best coach in the Valley. And so I think they've got to be the favorite. I know they're not the 1 seed. And I know that Buchanan Liberty game was crazy. I'm sure that'd be a fun game to, go call that game, if that happened. But, and I don't know a ton about Clovis West. That's one team I haven't seen a lot of, outside of, I know they beat Lemoore in that one game, mm-hmm. So, Clovis North is super physical. They're big. Their running backs they've got a bunch of them that are good. I think they play good defense. I think it's just a matter of experience. They didn't have a lot of experience when we played them. There were some younger guys. I know they have a few guys that haven't played football even very long. And they're really talented, and so I would imagine that's just what's happened,
And confidence, right?
Absolutely. And you win a few games, all of a sudden, you can conquer the world. And, I mean, I highly doubt those guys ever go into a game right now thinking that they're not going to win, they got Buchanan, right? Are they gonna play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they beat them. So, I think that game was, you asked Gabe some surprise. Like, that game was not that they beat Centennial, but that they beat them the way they did.
Running clock.
And so, because I have seen Centennial, and that team's good. And so I think that was probably a little bit of a surprise to me. Not that they won. I did believe they're the better team, but how they won, And so, yeah, I mean, you're probably right. They're probably a totally different team. I haven't seen them since. I was telling you, I'd like to see them to see how much they've improved because it was fun playing them.
And that game's going to be a bloodbath. And Gabe, I'm going to bring you on in just a second, but I got a question for Coach Hughes before we get to Gabe again. Was there any thought at all about petitioning to play in Division One? According to Cal Preps, I think you guys ended up at number 5 overall ranking, all their algorithms, whatever that looks like. Was there any thought at all to petitioning to play in Division One?
I don't even know if we can once the
Bakersfield
season
starts. Bakersfield Christian, okay. Well, Bakersfield Christian did it in basketball, right?
But I thought D3. I think they did it at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
I think you can do it at the I have no idea. So,
okay.
Did it cross our mind? I mean, I don't know. I think someone asked me that in the middle of the season. I think we were, maybe we had just beat Kingsburg. I don't know. And I kind of laugh because it really hasn't because, I mean, this is the highest we've ever been in divisions, we're a Division III school. I mean, size wise, we're way smaller than that, but like, that's what we've been playing Division III the last few years. So Division II seems big to us, and I know what the computers say and, as far as our ranking and stuff, but like, I'm looking at the Division II bracket and it's going to be the hardest thing we've ever done, And so, the teams that we're going to go up against, like, we've never had to do that ever. And so, and then it would make sense that Division One is even a little bit better. And so, not to say that we don't want the challenge and like, you know, man, if we would have had maybe two more track schools on our schedule and won those games, then heck yeah, man. But, you know, I just don't know. I have full confidence in this team, you know, but I think you got to earn that. I think you got to earn your way up to that, you know. And so, so not really. You know, I don't even know if it was something we could have done.
Yeah.
Not really. But I think we could play there. I mean, I think we would compete, you know. It's just, like I said, I think you got to earn your keep.
Yeah, I agree. And so, Gabe, that leads me to my question to you about Central Valley Christian. And, you know, we've seen a lot of the Division I teams. We've seen them up close and personal. We've seen the highlights. Can you make a case that Central Valley Christian could have been the number 6 or maybe even the number 5 seed in Division I?
Yeah, because that's what the computers put them. And, you know, there's some years where the Division II champion is better than the Division I champion. For instance, in 2015, Ridgeview High School in Bakersfield beat Liberty Bakersfield in the regular season. And then Ridgeview went on to win the D2 title and Liberty beat Clovis in that D1 title game. So I think about that season all the time, especially this year, considering the fact that CVC has two future college football players in Jaden Moore and Bryson Donaldson. I think they could have competed. I think they could have competed. If they were the 5 seed, they would have drawn Redwood. That would have been a fun matchup for Visalia fans because you had the best public school in town versus the best private school in town. I'm sure that would have been a sold-out crowd at the CVC field. But then they have to face San Joaquin Memorial, which would have been another fun matchup that I would have loved to see because Memorial and CVC, they're very similar. They are superpowers, private school-wise, and they have the most talent college-wise. You know, Brandon Ramirez, Marquise Jones, Donovan Harris for SJM, and then Zach Sward, Jaden Moore, Bryson Donaldson for CVC. I think those are two games they could have won. I mean, CVC, I like them against any team in the Valley, except for maybe the top 3 or 4, only because they're battle-tested. Like, for instance, Buchanan. Buchanan's faced Memorial, Central. They faced the entire track. They got beat up by Clovis North. You know, if you're CVC, Coach Hughes, that's scheduled. The Tri-County Kings Canyon, it's tough, right? You got Kingsburg. They gave you a battle. You got Washington Union. You know, that was a pretty easy game for you guys, but that's a Division II level schedule. It's the same thing that Kevin Charlton had a problem with. How can you expect to play D1 playoffs if you face a D2, D3 schedule? That's why Memorial finally scheduled Buchanan and Central, because they realized, like some other schools didn't, that in order to play in D1 playoffs, you have to play a D1 schedule. You can't play a D2 or D3 schedule. You need to schedule the best if you want to play the best in November. And I'll go back to what I said on my show on Thursday. The games you play in September matter in November. You can't expect to play cupcakes in September and expect to show up in D1 playoffs and win. So I think CVC did a good job scheduling. They scheduled Clovis North and they beat them. And that's more than some other small schools could say.
So, Gabe, with all the talk last year of the seedings being unfair, and, you know, we put the central section, put the addendum in with base divisions. Just looking at the results from last night and looking at the seeds, I thought CIF Central Section did a really good job. Obviously, it's not perfect, but I thought the seeds came out really, 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 really well. Only a few upsets, and we always got to have upsets in the playoffs. It's no fun if all the higher seeds advance. But I thought the seedings were spot on, and I thought the games, a lot of them played out exactly as we thought.
They were all spot on except for Redwood being the 12th seed. They did not deserve to be in D1.
Well, who else do you put in? That's the question, right?
It's
the old Dick Vitale thing, right? You're like, yo, this team got snubbed, but
Redwood
got punished.
Redwood
got
punished for beating a Hanford team that did not have a quarterback. Like, if Hanford has a quarterback, if that backup does not break his collarbone in the first quarter, and Hanford doesn't have to run a Wildcat offense for 3.5 quarters, Hanford wins and Hanford's in D1. That's unfair to me that you have more. You have more teams deserving to be in D2 than D1. It seems like 12 teams this year was too big. I feel like it should be like malleable, where sometimes it's 8 teams and sometimes it's 12 teams, because I think Centennial didn't deserve to be in D1. They had a D2, D3 schedule. Their toughest non-conference opponent was Redwood, who was a D2 team, and Sanger, who was a D2 team. Let's look at the other teams that lost. Clovis East, well, they were injury ravaged, and they didn't have a chance against St. Joseph with that many injuries in their defense. They should have been in D2 because they're really a D2 level team with the way that they schedule non-conference. And the other team that lost, Garces, well, Garces is the exception, not the rule, because they are a private school and because they schedule Los Alamitos and Lincoln. I actually think that hurt them more than it helped them, because at a certain point, strength of schedule actually starts hurting you if you start playing bigger teams consistently, and that's what happened to Garces. But also, Garces should have won that game. They were up 20 points in the third quarter. So I think the four teams that lost, three of them should have been in Division II, and that's why I think 12 teams this year was too big of a bracket for Division I.
Well, there could have been a little bit of a flex, right? So if you think about Clovis East and where they're at right now, and we know their record, but they were banged up, and everybody knew that it was going to be tough sledding at St. Joe's. So if you talk about Redwood too, then that means that there would have been two more byes. You take out Redwood as the 12, you take out Clovis East as the 11, you put them in D2. Obviously, D2 is going to be very loaded. I mean, look what Edison did. They almost beat the number 5 team, right? Then you got only what? That would have been only two games in the first week for Division 1. So, hey, you know, you could have had that adjustment period as well.
I think we got the eight teams that deserve to be in D1 playing on Thursday. I think if we just had a bye in D1 like we had last year, we would have got the same matchups, because we did. 1 versus 8, 4 versus 5, 3 versus 6, and 2 versus 7. We had 3 out of 4 blowouts. The games in D1 were not competitive except for Clovis versus Garces. Every other division had more or less competitive games except Division 1, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, good stuff there, Gabe. All right, so, Gabe, we're going to be talking about Division I, future matchups after the break. I got a couple more questions here for Coach Hughes. All right, so talk about Bryson Donaldson, how he became eligible as a running back, as a junior. You know, his first couple games were incredible. Played against a really good Kingsburg team in his third game. Do you believe that he was, like, the missing piece to really make a serious run to a Central Section championship and then – hopefully a state championship as well? Was he like the one piece you're like, oh, that fits in nice?
He's a good player. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, Paul, I don't know if we've played great since Bryson's been here. That's not a knock on Bryson. Obviously, he's getting like 25 yards a carry. But I thought our guys who were playing running back, they weren't talent. They went. Well, I don't want to diss on those guys, but they weren't as talented as Bryson. They aren't as talented as Bryson, but they, we were able to run the ball against good teams. And Bryson is just so dynamic and fast that we were having drives before.
Yeah,
4 or 5 yards, and with Bryson, it's 65 yards and he's gone. And I don't think that has anything to do with Bryson, but I don't know the answer to that.
Well,
yet, obviously you put a really good player in a spot where we don't have as talented players, and that's a big jump. But I'm still waiting for our guys to play really well. Honestly, this season, like most times we're like, man, we didn't play that well.
Well, I think, you could tell me if I'm wrong here, but come crunch time, come in those playoff games where you are the hunted, right? You are the number one seed. You're going to be playing at home. Everyone's going to be gunning for you. Where it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, and heck, I mean, a 65-yard touchdown burst would be nice, mm-hmm. but you might need 3 yards, right?
Yeah.
And so you need those tough
Absolutely.
Yards. And so you got to prepare your team, and you got to put yourself in those situations. And when you got a kid that, was averaging 25 yards a game, you got to be able to dial up, and your team's going to have to be adjusted in those tough situations, right?
Yeah, and I think, one thing I was going to say about Bryson is up until, the first 5 games when he was in the sit-out, every team is – directing their defense for Jaden. So getting all the double teams, kind of light in the box. The minute Bryson steps on the field, now the focal point of the defense becomes the run game. And so we actually had to adjust to that, because we were not used to seeing so many teams trying to defend our run, mm-hmm. because they hadn't been. And so that opens up everything. I mean, that the Kingsburg game specifically, I mean, Kingsburg just said, we're going to try to slow down Bryson, and we're going to put one-on-one with Jaden. And they have some kids who could hold their own, and not every team has those. And so I think that alone, when you talk about missing piece, I mean, he brings so much attention. Like, you would, there's this one kid who's going to be going to Oregon, who's a really good wide receiver. You would think, that the defense is going to focus on him. Well, so far no one's done that. They've said, we got to focus on this other kid, because that's the key of the offense. So I guess that really answers your question. Yeah, he is like a missing piece. We're just looking as a team to be able to play a complete game, you know. And he definitely has done really well. I mean, obviously he's had these games where he just, you know, big runs. But Kingsburg and Washington both, I thought, did a great job defensively against him. And he grinded out yards and found other ways to impact the game. You know, I think he only had like 80 yards in both those games. Yeah. But he also had like 80 yards receiving,
yeah.
You know. And he could be a phenomenal receiver. I mean, he's a great player. And so, you know, the thing about him, he just brings so much positivity.
Yeah.
I mean, he is one of the best teammates I've ever coached. And it's just, you know, you got Jaden being fun, and you Bryson brings a whole nother level of fun.
Yeah.
You know, and so as far as missing piece, I think that's the biggest thing is he was a shot in the arm to our team from the day he got here, you know, even when he couldn't play. And so that's where he's the most valuable to us.
And he is a dynamic player. And you know, Coach Hughes, this was a lot of fun. We got to take a break here. Jaden Moore, you know, is an impact player. Congrats to him on all his success. And congrats on your success. 10-0, what, for the first time since 2004, I believe I saw, Central Valley Christian?
Yeah.
First 10-0 season since then. Number one seed, going to be taking on a tough Sanger game. That's going to be a grinder of a game. So, Coach Hughes, good luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate you driving here and joining us on the Central Valley Sports Report.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Really appreciate it. I love being here. It's always fun.
Well, how about in the off season? You could come in. You could be one of my little guest co-hosts.
Hey,
we could chop it up and tell some old stories.
You saw my talent I have in that baseball game, man. I think I could pull this off, man.
I think you got it. You might have a future. You're still young, though. You're still young. You got a lot of coaching years left in you. All right, coming up, Gabe Camarino and I are going to be coming back and breaking down Division One a little bit more, talking about the upsets. Are there going to be some upsets? Are there going to be, you know, some matchups we might not be expecting? We'll be breaking down those games and more coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Oh, what a dynamic half hour segment that was. Thank you to Tyler Joseph, 21 Pilots, for bringing me in right now. But, yeah, just a really good conversation with Gabe Camarillo and Mason Hughes. And actually, Coach Hughes and I were talking off air about the playoff system. And there's a lot more into this than meets the eye, right? If you're a casual fan, you you know, you watch some scores, you watch the news, and you're updated that way, and you don't really understand. I think the casual fan doesn't really understand everything that goes into play with the playoffs and what that looks like. And so, yeah, Coach Hughes had brought up an interesting point off air. He said, well, if this system was in place, this year's system, last year, it would have been so much better. Last year, really, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better term, you know, there's a shock. Last year was just a shock to a lot of teams, and it was tough PTSD, so to speak, of what happened last year with a lot of schools that had incredible seasons and were not rewarded in the playoffs. I mean, there were 10-0 teams that were, you know, won their league 10-0 and didn't even have a home playoff game. So, you know, this was put in place, you know, to try to assure competitive equity, talking about the playoffs. The advisory board a couple years ago, COVID really screwed things up. Because you couldn't meet, and the communication gaps were there. So there's just a lot of factors. So I think the ship has been righted. I think the you know, the top teams are in the position, you know, where they should be. If you should be rewarded for having a successful year and scheduling your games the right way and being smart with that. And so I think it's played out for the most part. Obviously, some things can be tweaked and well. I know Commissioner Ryan Tossin and advisory board does an incredible job with that. All right, so. Good stuff right there. Again, thanks to Coach Hughes for coming on and talking. He does a great job. Talking with Gabe Camarillo now again. So, Gabe, let's talk about D1, right? Spent a lot of time in Division II, which is loaded. We're extremely excited about Division II. Let's start with Clovis West and Clovis, man. Look at this matchup again. The rivals, the history between these two schools. They're meeting in the playoffs. They've met a lot in the playoffs, and obviously they meet in the regular season.
something we haven't talked about in the show. We mentioned it last week. Ryan Markarian, the Clovis West quarterback, is not going to be able to eligible to play. He was ejected from the game against Clovis with two personal foul calls. So Tyler Patrick is going to be stepping up and starting at quarterback in a playoff game against Clovis. And according to Coach Eric Brown, it's good to have the best backup quarterback in the Central Section. We believe that is true. So what are you thinking and what are you predicting in that game?
It's always tough to come off the bench and play right away, but the luxury of having a bye week for Clovis West, I think, will help Tyler Patrick in what would be his second start of the season, or actually maybe his third start, because I know he started the first two games and then Markarian took over. So I do think that Tyler Patrick, he has the arm talent. He has the confidence. I think Clovis West will not have a problem offensively and defensively. They shut down Clovis High School just last week. So I think Clovis West, they should be the favorite coming into this one. Having said that, the way that Clovis came back against Garces after being down, 20 points in the third quarter? You can never count the Cougars out. Never count the Cougars out after watching that kind of performance. So it's a Range Rider Trophy game, part two, right? Clovis West won the Range Rider. They won the track in that same game. And I know this is going to be a packed crowd at Veterans Memorial Stadium, because I'm not sure how many times these two schools have met in the playoffs. I think they've definitely had their run-ins in the past Valley Championships of the 90s and early 2000s and the 80s. But now this is kind of like a new edition of the rivalry.
No, exactly. And those obviously two teams that are very familiar with each other. That game's going to be happening at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Central, the 5 seed, San Joaquin Memorial, the 4 seed. Tons of storylines in this one. I mentioned that these two teams don't like each other. You know, I could say that on air. And we go back to that game at Central where they met, and San Joaquin Memorial came away with that 23-21 win. Brandon Ramirez knocked the ball away, a deep pass that I think it was Braylon Hall, I'm not quite sure, but he was open for a second, and Ramirez closed on that and shut that play down, and they were able to kneel down for that victory. And then you go back to last year in the playoffs, right? San Joaquin Memorial was the 2 seed. Central was the 3 seed, defending champs. They didn't like that too much. They went into Memorial and beat them on their home field. So, gosh, how many storylines in this game, Gabe?
I don't know which game's going to be more fiercer and more intense, this one or Buchanan-Clovis North, because the Broncos and Bears do not like each other at all either. I think when you face a team 3 times in a calendar year, which is what Buchanan and North will do and Memorial and Central will do, you just don't like them. You run into them, and there's physical play at the line of scrimmage. There's late hits. There's all types of little gamesmanship that goes on between the teams like this. And Central Memorial, they have their history. Coach Biggs does not like playing at Memorial, not because he doesn't think they can win. They can absolutely win at Memorial. They won last year in the playoffs. He just doesn't like their stadium. And Memorial, they earn home field advantage. They beat Central in the regular season. This game, just like last year, it's going to be an overfull crowd at Memorial High School. But here's the X factor. I'll give you this, Paul. Brandon Ramirez was a big reason why Memorial won last time. He had big plays offensively, and he had the game-sealing defensive pass breakup. He needs to play just as well if they want to beat Central. Now, Central's battle-tested. They did not have an easy time in the track. They lost to Buchanan. They lost to Clovis North. They beat Clovis West. I'm still wondering how that 45-0 score happened, because that seems like the most random result ever for any game in the league this year. But Memorial's coming off games against Sanger, Madera, Garza. Remember what I just said, Paul? You have to play D1 teams to play well in the D1 playoffs. And although
They did a non-league. They can't help who they play in league.
In the first half, I know they can't help. I mean, they should be in the track. Let's be honest, Paul. Memorial should really be in the track, but they're not in the track. Whatever. Anyways, Memorial, the last 5 games, they haven't played the type of competition that Central has played. Can they flip the switch all of a sudden and get ready for a big test against Central? We'll find out on Thursday.
Absolutely. And so leads us. So that's the top of the bracket. Leads us to Liberty, Bakersfield, and St. Joe's. Interesting, right? So obviously those two schools are away from our target audience, our Fresno and Clovis. But, that's going to be a battle. A lot of questions about St. Joseph. How good really are they? I know they got a good quarterback, pretty good offensive line, a couple dudes. But, I mean, Liberty, and you heard from Coach Mason Hughes, he thinks they're the number one team in the Central Section. And a Brian Nixon coach team is always going to be tough in the playoffs.
You know, I just said Memorial's good enough to be in the track. St. Joseph's also good enough to be in the track, because look at the way they beat Clovis East, 41-6. That's like Central beating Clovis East, right? St. Joseph has all types of offensive talent. They're starting running back Carter Vargas. I heard that he rushed for 1,700 yards, which, if true, means that he is third best in the section. St. Joseph doesn't post their stats. I'm not sure why, but they have the top wide receiver in the section, the third best running back in the section, and if I get quarterback Darian Mentz's number, I'm sure they're going to be in the top 10 somewhere. So this is a very high-powered offense. They showed as such by beating Clovis East 41-6. But then Liberty's defense, you heard Coach Hughes compliment them, and I think they deserve that compliment. Their defense is solid. I mean, they've been playing well at a high level all season long. The only game I can point to and say that Liberty's defense faltered was that Buchanan loss. But take that loss away, they played well against Central. They kept Central to just 10 points. That's really good for the Patriots. Yeah. They battle-tested themselves. They played a couple D1 teams, Centennial, Garces. I think Liberty should be the home favorite, but they should not sleep on St. Joseph because St. Joseph has an offense that can be up there with the best in the section.
At the bottom of the bracket, here we go. Number 7, Clovis North, and number 2, Buchanan. Again, many, many storylines, and I was on the sidelines for that Clovis North and Centennial game last night. Just, you know, when you're on the sidelines, you can hobnob and talk with different people that are there on Clovis North sidelines. And, yeah, they were quick to remind me that, you know, Buchanan has a few Clovis North transfers, and they don't forget those types of things.
They
Players that played in their lower divisions and maybe even at Granite Ridge and find themselves at Buchanan. And, you know, you can think of Jaden Mandel. Who
There's
was at
nothing
Clovis
they
North.
Want more than to end his career. I can tell you that. They want to end his high school career on Thursday. Clovis North wants that. But can Buchanan let them? I don't think so, Paul. It's hard to beat a team twice. Now, having said that, Washington Union did that last night. They beat Dinuba twice. And who else did it? Kennedy beat Highland. So that was actually 1-1. They split the season series. Buchanan lost to North, I think, because of self-inflicted mistakes. They lost to them because Clovis North managed the clock really well. They took up a lot of time. They didn't give Jaden Mandel that many opportunities for a comeback. I just don't know. Buchanan, this team's so talented. I feel like the only way Buchanan loses a second time is if they get in their own way yet again. Because although Clovis North is red hot, and we saw them beat Centennial 40-7, this Buchanan team has a week to get healthy. They have a week to prepare for Clovis North, and they've already faced Clovis North once before this season. So I'm going to still give Buchanan as the slight favorite, but I absolutely agree with Mason Hughes when he said that Clovis North has a really good shot at winning it all this year.
I believe that game is going to be in the 20s. I think it's, you know, a 28-21 type game. I see Buchanan winning this game as well. Clovis North is playing really, really good football. I just feel like Buchanan is going to be extremely focused in this one. They have a mission. You know, they're on a mission. Coach Ross Wood in his first year, we think about how close Buchanan has been in the past with Coach Matt Giordano when they had Kendall Milton and Jalen Cropper and made it to the Central Section Championship game a couple times and couldn't get their first title since the year 2000 with Matt Giordano when he was a star player. But are there any – let's see, out of the four games in Division I, Clovis West, Clovis, Central, San Joaquin Memorial, Liberty, St. Joe's, Clovis North, Buchanan, which of those four games do you think has the best chance in a quote-unquote upset?
Central over Memorial. And that, even that's kind of putting it as a stretch.
That's a
5-4. I mean, Buchanan, I have them as like a maybe 2.5-point favorite over Clovis North. Liberty would be a 5.5-point favorite, and Clovis West would be a 9.5-point favorite. I think those games, although both teams are hot, and like for Clovis, for instance, right, they're hot because they scored 21 points in the last quarter against Garces. And Clovis North, they're the hottest team in the Central section right now because they've been rolling over Centennial and Central. And St. Joseph, they just put up 41 points. Although those teams coming in are hot, they're running into the established four. I feel like the four teams that got byes, they've been the four best teams all season long. You know, you can put them in any order. Buchanan, Clovis West, Memorial, and Liberty. They had a week to prepare, to rest. I just like all four of those teams advancing. But if I had to pick an upset, it would be Central because the point spread on that one would be 1.5 Memorial. It'd be a pick 'em almost.
Well, and of course, 1430 ESPN does not condone betting in any way, shape, or form.
We don't.
At the
we don't
level, but it's just for funsies.
Yeah,
it's
for funsies.
Just for funsies. All right. So, yes, Section Division One is so much fun. And we talk about Division Two as well. Spent a lot of time on Division Two. So, looking at the brackets, Division Two, which of those teams do you think has, or which of those games do you think has the best chance of an upset?
Ah, Frontier over Kingsburg. You heard Coach, well, you heard from Coach Mason Hughes say that. Coach Wilson said, how is Frontier a 7 seed? Malachi Statler, that's how. I don't know. They're a really good team. They have a good quarterback, Malachi Statler. They have a really good spread offense. They are battle-tested. They face Liberty and Centennial, and that's worth something. Kingsburg, though, I hesitate to say they get upset because I just know they're going to be prepared. Watching the Vikings a couple times this year, they are a well-oiled machine. It seems like there's never a part that's out of place. Everything they do, every move they have is purposeful. They have a reason why they do it. Frontier, on the other hand, I know that they're prone to defensive mistakes. I think this one could be a shootout because I really have faith in Frontier's quarterback, Malachi Statler. But if there was going to be an upset, I don't see Lemoore losing to Union. They're just too good right now. I don't see Hanford losing to Bakersfield Christian because Bakersfield Christian needed a two-point conversion in overtime to beat Edison, and Hanford scored 84 points. And CVC I have as a heavy favorite over Sanger. It has to be that Frontier-Kingsburg game if there's going to be an upset. But for the record, I don't think there will be an upset in this D2 quarterfinals.
Well, a couple things going Kingsburg's way in this one. Obviously, they're a phenomenal football team. You think about their only loss in the season is to the Central Valley Christian by 1 point at their place in an environment that's been unmatched for this season. But also, right, Frontier played last night. Probably have practice today, right? A lot of teams are having practices on Saturday. I know Clovis North is actually practicing right now, but it's a short week. They got to travel down 99 and go to Kingsburg to play that game. So it's going to be a short week for Frontier to heal up and practice and scout for Kingsburg. But hey, Kingsburg's, you think I go back to that game against Sunnyside, right? They go into Sunnyside. Tanner Wilson, who's had an incredible season. We haven't even talked about Sunnyside's win over Tulare Union, so congrats on them. 11 seed, which I thought wasn't right, so I picked that upset. That was actually pretty easy to pick. But they went into Sunnyside, and, hey, they put a hurt on Tanner Wilson. So I know that Kingsburg knows how to attack quarterbacks. They know how to put pressure. And Malachi Smith is more mobile than Tanner Wilson is, but I know Kingsburg's going to have a plan against a really good offense.
They intercepted Tanner Wilson 5 times, Paul. That is a really good ball hawking defense that Kingsburg has. They have 19 interceptions this season. I'm pretty sure that's tops in the Tri-County Kings Canyon League, and that has to be one of the top numbers for a team in the Central Section. Paul, I don't even think Kingsburg's going to lose, but you asked me which upset would there be, and I said, okay, if I had to pick one, I guess it's Frontier since they're playing well.
See, you're a guest on my show, basically, right? Just like when I'm a guest on your show, you put me in tough binds sometimes, too. So, hey, I'm putting it back on you a little bit. All right, so let's talk a little bit about our 1430 ESPN Heisman candidates. You've made a nice list, and you do an incredible job up and down the Central Section. You can listen to Gabe's show on 1430 ESPN Home Field Advantage from 3 to 5 Monday through Thursday. All right, so who are your top 5 players in the Central Section right now, regardless of division? Who do you got?
I have Jaden Moore as number 1, and you just talked to him last hour. That's a great young man, and great, I'm excited for his future. I know he's enrolling early, and I think that's the right move because I think with that experience he'll get at Oregon over the spring, he could be an immediate contributor next fall at Autzen Stadium. He's number 1. Number 2, I still have as Brandon Ramirez. Again, this is definitely subject to change. Brandon Ramirez, he could lead the Panthers onto a Central Section championship run, and he can leapfrog Jaden Moore. And he's there because he does it on both sides of the ball, like Jaden Moore, but Brandon Ramirez, one of the top rushers in this section, a top safety that's going to Fresno State. He has some of the Heisman moments, I like to call them. You can point to his performance where he had 6 carries for 205 yards and 5 touchdowns as a Heisman moment. You can point to his game-saving pass breakup against Central as a Heisman moment, but he might have another one in these playoffs. Stay tuned. Brandon Ramirez is 2, Jaden Moore is 1. I still have Marshall Sanders as number 3. He is the best player on the best team. And I think without Marshall Sanders, they do have Landon Wright, they do have Jordan Piero, but I still think that they're not the same team without Marshall Sanders, if that makes sense.
And he returns kicks as well.
Exactly.
Teams do not kick to him anymore.
They don't. If they did, he'd have more touchdowns, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Number 4 candidate is Dayton Tafoya. You can already tell that SJM Central has more than just a trip to the semifinals on the line. It has some Heisman hope on the line because if Tafoya has a fantastic game on the road at Memorial, that could be his Heisman moment, and that could launch him back into the top stratosphere of the Heisman rankings. And then number five, I know he just had his season ended, Andrew Camarillo, a tough runner, 25 touchdowns on the season for him, led the section in rushing. He deserves to be in consideration, but he's number five.
He's from Arosi. He's had what he had a 460 something yard game, and I think a 300 something yard game as well. So,
and I don't care if he plays in Division VI. He earned that. He earned every single one of those 430 yards.
Absolutely. So good list there. I agree with you with the top two, Jaden Moore and Brandon Ramirez. I like Jaden Mandel as Buchanan. I think he's a top five.
And you know what? I said subject to change. Jaden Mandel. He can launch himself into the top two.
Yeah, and what I like to do too in these is, you know, it's not like the MVP votes where you're voting for the regular season. I like an all-encompassing player, right?
Yes.
Somebody that can lead them to a Central Section Championship. So I like Jaden Mandel. His numbers aren't crazy off the charts. They're not eye-popping, but
look,
they're very, very good. I know he plays. Yeah, he plays in the track, plays in one of the top divisions. And, you know, they're definitely not a pass-first offense.
Yes.
You know, like Michael Reynolds, the running back, is very, very good. He's a great complementary player to Mandel. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a dude headed to Fresno State. And I got a Liberty guy. I got Krishan Kizzy, who is an impact guy. So they're going to need him big time to step up.
He has
a little bit of everything.
If he has a Jason Oliver type run in these playoffs, he can definitely launch himself onto the top of that list.
Okay, and then I got a 5A, 5B, and 5C because it's my show, and I can say whatever I want. But, yeah, I got three other guys tied right now. You mentioned him, Marshall Sanders, impact guy for Clovis West, really good player. Going to be playing Division I football, probably a Pac-12 type of guy, whatever the Pac-12 is going to look like in a couple years. And then Dayton Tafoya threw five more touchdowns yesterday, and he was on my show last week, and a great kid. Fresno State plays Hawaii tonight, and he could have an offer from Hawaii after everything's said and done. So really good football player for Central. The Grizzlies go when Dayton Tafoya goes for sure. And then I got to get a Kingsburg guy, and Trace Jackson is a really good running back. He's got 19 touchdowns on the year. He's a tough runner. You know, you think about Bryson Donaldson on Central Valley Christian. Well, Jackson met him, yard for yard pretty much in that game, and those two were going head-to-head. So that was a lot of fun to watch on the highlights. But, yeah, I got seven guys here listed, but any one of those guys could end up being our 1430 Heisman kid.
Yes, and we'll make sure we have a trophy. I still got to get that squared away, and we'll have a whole ceremony about it. It's going to be awesome for whichever student athlete's picked as the first ever Central Section High School Heisman winner.
Absolutely. Good job by you, Gabe. Do an excellent job. Always fun to talk to you, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right, we're going to be taking a break and then wrapping everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be
your
peace when you are
done.
Thank
you guys for tuning in. Thank you to First String Sports, my sponsors from day one. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Hernandez, Kenneth Sanchez from Hanford, Mason Hughes, and Jaden Moore from Central Valley Christian. Playoffs week two next week. And really quick, a tweet from Darren Carr. Fresno State football, if you have not offered number 10 from Edison High School, I don't know what you're waiting for. Dynamic young quarterback, special player, talking about Yaze Vance. All right, Fresno State, there's a guy coming from a guy that knows quarterbacks. Darren Carr, his brothers, Derek and David, he certainly knows what he's talking about. All right, Sectional Section playoffs will continue next week. We can't wait. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.